You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Well, today's session, let's get right to it. Today's session remains inside this ongoing uptrend that we've been in now for several days, all the way back from the July 8th bottom. And, you know, this what we talked about a few days ago, where the market was able to close above 942, which would invalidate this turning point top, that normally would indicate higher prices with quite a bit of energy in the market to be played out potentially on the upside. And so we still do, even now, remain inside this ongoing uptrend that we've been in since the July 7th, July 8th bottom. And we're just, as we're speaking, just as you're calling right now, we're testing these highs, today's resistance in the support and resistance panel at 955. We're testing that right now. And I would not be surprised if we break out to new recent highs here because of the invalidation of the June 16th daily market top, which by itself is a very, it takes a lot of power to break through a level like that where the cycle gets reversed and potentially could send the market to much higher prices. So we'll see. We're testing some important levels right now at the 955 level, and we'll see this day today how the market is able to handle this on the upside. We have, in fact, made a new high in the month of July, and as we talked earlier, and I've mentioned to you this several times over the past month, that the month of July was indicated to be the next important monthly top. So by doing this, by breaking through these levels and getting above the June 16th area that we've talked about, July 16th, I'm sorry, the market has now confirmed the on-time month for a monthly top in the market. So this is, again, another critical piece. And part of the, as we've talked about so many times, the tricky behavior that markets will show prior to a larger turn. And, of course, a monthly top is a very sizable turning point. A multi-month decline would be expected off of such a high, and that decline could take us sharply lower to levels that I know that you've been talking about on the downside. I don't remember the exact level, but something to do with a Fib number and the percentage of 38% retracement. And what was the number you were referring to with that that would take us to?
That would be, where'd it go? That would be 845.
845.
Yeah.
Okay. So, today,
however, I mean,
yes.
I was discussing this with Greg earlier and also with the listeners, and I put a lot of focus on that 38% retracement. But if you take a weekly chart and you turn that baby upside down, I mean, there's room to run on the upside, really, because Fibs work in both directions. The 38% retracement of this entire move down from the 1560, whatever it was, all-time high in the S&P cash, down to this recent low at 666, a 38% retracement going in that direction is just above 1,000. It's like 1,016.
Okay.
So, I always try to embrace all of the possibilities. And I've been talking so much about the other one, I just felt it prudent that today I mentioned that, you know, if this thing continues to move up, you know, don't fight it. Don't do something silly just because Dwayne said that he thought it might pull back to 845.
Right.
No, you would not be liking me very much around 945 if you allow yourself to do that, so don't, you know.
That's true. That's a good way to lose a lot of friends, to make people sit through that, Dwayne. You should know better than that. If you're trying to make friends and win subscribers or listeners.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting, as we have talked about, for the market to show us its hand now with the monthly, the July monthly top now having made a new recent high, and that allows us now between the month of July and August to make a very important top, which would then be followed by a multi-month decline. And that's really what we're waiting on, and we've seen, again, some of the early tricky behavior that occurs. And I think we've talked about this before, too. The sentiment has been extremely bearish. And, you know, in a large turn like this, they're not just going to give it all. Not that we follow sentiment on our side here so much, but I do look at sentiment because I know that as a general rule, and maybe just to call it a principle, at the beginning of these moves, not so much later, but at the beginning of these moves, when the sentiment is extremely powerfully biased in one way, the market tends to not service that bias. In other words, it doesn't go in the direction that the people who are biased short, as this market has been. There's been an enormous amount of short interest in the market up at this recent top, and those people are not all going to get satisfied. The market isn't going to service all those people, that large group of people. And that includes professionals. It includes a number of newsletter writers and other people that are looking at markets and making decisions about markets, etc. So it just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way that the market's going to turn right as everybody becomes bearish. And this market has a very high amount of bearish sentiment in it, and has for quite a number of weeks here near this top. So that's an important thing just to keep in mind. Later, once the trend is underway on the downside, you'll often see a large number of bearish people, a large number of high bearish sentiment, and the market can continue to decline at that point. But as soon as the market starts getting close to important time cycles, and like this July top that we've talked about, when the sentiment is very bearish, overwhelming like that, it makes it difficult for the market to service those people because it doesn't work that way. It's just a better way to say it. It just doesn't work that way. And so, you know, here we are breaking to new recent highs with extremely high bearish sentiment in the month of July. So we need to allow this market some time, no matter what our targets are on the downside, for the market to, in a sense, flush out or change the minds of a good percentage of those people before it's going to turn. It's a good idea to keep that in mind, and I suggest to your listeners to keep an eye on sentiment itself. And remember that the general rule is that the market cannot and will not service the largest number, the greatest percentage of people's opinions in one particular direction, unless the market has already turned and is going in that direction. As an example, in the 90s and even in the 2000s and on and further, when the market was running up, the bullish sentiment was very high and the market continued to confirm that. But where this idea becomes very important is when the turning point is occurring, like where we are now, where important time cycles are occurring. Extremely bearish sentiment doesn't lend itself to an immediate turn, and the market gets very tricky at that level. And that's what we're seeing here. That's exactly what we're seeing here in this market. So just keep that in mind, that we're not going to probably see that until some of that sentiment gets burned off by the market's own motion on the upside here. Okay. So there's nothing new or original in anything I just said, but it's something to keep in mind. The idea that there's a high amount of sentiment doesn't get serviced is a very common idea, common thread. But there's a lot of really good common ideas and common threads in market outlook. From, you know, we've talked about the Moses coming down from the mountain with the 10 trading rules. One of them is this. You know, this is one of the general principles that you want to keep an eye on, especially with these longer term turning points. So that is definitely something to keep in mind. Do you have anything more on the market right now, the stock market, or anything else you wanted to say? Because I was, you must have something else.
No, all right.
No, you don't. Okay.
I really don't, not today.
Okay, that's fine. Let's take a quick look over here at soybeans. Again, this is a market that has a very, typically can have a very wide range in a given day. Our soybean messenger product today bought the market at $9.03. And it subsequently made a swing low at about $9.05, about 9.5 cents, and is now bouncing up off that. We've exited one of our positions here. We're trading up at 9.06 right now. So we'll see if we can get a further advance out of this market right now. And sometimes when the market, you know, when the S&P is very slow, the soybeans are really moving. Sometimes the opposite. And sometimes both of them can be very powerful or very slow on a given day. And for people who are maybe new to markets, we are in like the dog days of summer, you know, where the markets are kind of quiet here. Even though they're going up, they tend to make a move and then they get very quiet right after that. That's where we are right now with this market. It's a very slow-moving, both the soybean and the S&P, because we're kind of in the middle of a seasonal period that is typically very slow, low volatility, low volume, et cetera. And that's what we're seeing in the market. So you kind of have to get your trade in either early in the day or later in the session. And you'll notice that one of the things that's true about all markets is that they tend to have great amount of activity at the open for about an hour or maybe a little more.
Right.
And they tend to have a great amount of activity in the last hour or a little more. And that middle piece there can often be traded, but it's often could be called the dead zone. But all markets have that characteristics. They all have that opening and closing area where a lot of volatility is there and some good trades can be taken. For people who want to take lower risk in their trades and not be surprised by big volatility, they can learn very effectively to trade in the dead zone. The dead zone is the period after the initial opening volatility occurs and prior to the ending of the day's volatility. In there's often quite quiet movement where you can be quite certain that when you buy or sell against a critical level, you're not going to get too much market movement through that level unless it happens to be a trend day. And a trend day in the S&P probably only occurs about 20% of the time. So as a general rule, and I'm throwing numbers out right now, but let's just say that this is a general idea, that about 80% of the time, you're not going to have a trend day in the S&P. You may in some other markets, but 80 or 75% of the time, you're not going to. So you can trade inside that dead zone, trading against critical buying and selling levels with a great deal of certainty, 75 or 80% certainty, that the market is in fact not going to just suddenly get volatile and move through you, and you're going to be able to manage that position. The payoff for having that advantage is that you are also not going to get very many points of gain, because that same slow behavior is going to work against you as you're trying to get a few points out of the market. It might take several hours for the market to move 2 points. That really does happen. We see it all the time.
Sure.
So that's something to keep in mind as well. But for people who are concerned about risk and things in the market, this is a very good principle to think about and follow, which is to buy and sell during the dead zone and know what your critical levels are, or subscribe to a service that gives you levels. You have many other people on your show that have that. Our system has it as well. And the market right now is testing 955, which is one such level in our work. And unless today is a trend day up, which it may well be, but unless it is, this would be an area in the dead zone of today to consider taking a position against the current trend, understanding that the quietness of the market will also slow down the potential profits. So as long as you keep that in mind, it can be a way to trade with lower risk. And then later, as you get a little more skilled, you might want to trade slowly and, you know, creeping towards the higher volatility areas of the market, which are both the beginning and the ending period. But isn't that a nice way to put together, you know, what all markets do under every single day's conditions, with the exception of, you know, rampant trend days, where a trend day is where the market just continues to drive in one direction with very minor pullbacks, and it just continues to make new highs or new lows in the direction that the market's going for that day. So
that is, that's well put.
So we're kind of at a critical level right here on the upside. We're kind of in the dead zone for today. Let's identify where we are. We're in the dead zone. The market's testing 955, which is listed in our support and resistance panel, and slightly above that is 958, which is another level for us, not too much above the 955 level. So the risk is somewhat low here, and this is that type of scenario where we might take a look at taking a trade here. So I hope that's helpful to people who are looking at the markets as a general way to look at markets. People learn most of this stuff over time by mere observation of the market, but sometimes not. And sometimes it's good to hear somebody who's been in the markets for a while, like myself, to just bring up the idea and let people know it, and then follow markets and see that it is true. And they can probably take some good advantage of that, hopefully over some time, with some practice, I mean. And really, I think that's about it right now, Duane. We're gosh, I wish I had more to tell you right now, but because of the fact that the market was able to break out, get above 942, that does put the onus on the upside and does mean that there's potentially much higher prices coming before this all ends. So
one thing I'll throw out, just because I happen to have a chart in front of me, because
sure.
I'm always trying to help people put together all the pieces of this puzzle. David mm-hmm. was talking about his resistance level of 955.
Yes.
Some people watch a one-minute chart. I'm not saying you should watch a one-minute chart. I just know that some people do, and I haven't had one in front of me because I was looking at something.
Sure.
And Head and Shoulders formed right at that 955 level.
Okay, on a one-minute chart, right.
On a one-minute chart. Now, the neckline is not broken as of yet, but...
Mm-hmm.
For those who, I'm just saying that. So for those who by nature, the way you were taught, the way you learn, the way you trade is via pattern recognition. Having accurate support and resistance levels can sometimes kind of put you on alert. Okay, let me be particularly studious in this area to see if one of my favorite patterns is going to appear, because I
right.
know that this is an area in the market where someone who looks at the market entirely differently has said,
mm-hmm.
you know, something may potentially happen here.
Yes, exactly. So let's watch that for a little bit here. The remainder of this week, today is Wednesday, the remainder of the week, of course, is very important. How we close this week is important. And we will update in our nightly report this weekend about the longer-term outlook and our forecast for a July monthly top. People can get the nightly report if they want to by just coming to pagetrader.com. There's a section on the left-hand side of the page that lets you get our nightly report. The nightly report covers all the trades we take on any given day. And I do want to mention to people that, you know, the idea that trading every single day, you know, we do want to take a trade every day if we can, but it sometimes doesn't allow us to. So, yesterday we had a day where we actually had no trades at all. And we had an email, somebody had emailed us asking us about that. You have to understand that every system is different, that in our particular approach to the markets, we did make 6 attempts yesterday to try to get into the market, but we were unable to. And that sometimes happens. And you never want to let something like that change your particular trading strategy so that the next day you've changed your behavior to try to counter that, because the market has a really efficient way of making the tail wag the dog, and you don't want to be the dog. So you have to stay with your system, in other words, no matter what, unless you find a really valid reason. You hear people say that all the time, you know, stay with your system, don't change anything. It's legitimate to change things, but it's not legitimate to change things because of one day's behavior or something like that. You have to change your system when you find some principle or some idea that would be better reflected in a change in the system, but not simply because yesterday you got angry because you didn't get into the market or something like that. Those types of emotions are not paid. You don't get paid to feel that way, or better yet, you don't get paid to express that. In fact, you specifically won't get paid to express those types of emotions. It'll usually cost you money. The type of employer that the market is extremely fair, and it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Now, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you either get docked some of your pay or you simply don't get to trade. But you don't make money by this employer when you do the wrong thing. You don't get money when you get angry and change your behavior because of that. The market will be very fair with you in pay if you'll wait for what it is that you understand about the market and then trade while managing your risk, as we always say. You can get paid by doing that. It's a very fair employer with that regard. But as soon as you start using emotion and start chasing and start changing your behavior or changing your system in order to compensate for one day's frustration or 2 days' frustration, you can rest assured that this is not an employer that will pay you for that. So keep that in mind. The market can be thought of as an employer who's very fair, but you have to stick to your end of the bargain as well. And that end of the bargain is to take your system seriously, manage the risk, and follow your system, and only change your system when a principle that you've now understood could be better reflected by changing it, not out of frustration because you saw the market do something one time. You follow?
Oh, yeah.
So many people
Absolutely.
Do that. That's such a common thing. We see it all the time, and we're dealing with traders, you know, every day from all over the world. And it doesn't matter where people are from. The emotion, you know, there's no east or west in frustration. You know, right. You know, it's all the same, and people make the same kinds of mistakes, and you could very easily say that they would be much better served if they would learn to follow their own system, whether it's their own system or they're following a system like ours, but not to try to break the rules or not to try to get a special edge. You know, in the sales business, I know you're going to have to go, Duane, but I just want to say this. In the sales business, companies that employ telemarketers and salespeople, things like this, they find that salespeople will, over a very quick, short period of time, they'll take the original pitch that they were being given to present their product to somebody, and they'll start making changes in that presentation to try to get somebody to buy something from them. And before you know it, they've made a whole bunch of changes, and they've gotten completely almost off the message, and sometimes they even go into telling a lie or being what's the word? I'm at a loss for words, which
David,
is unusual.
It sounds like you've been around a phone room or two there, buddy.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Where people will, yeah. And so what happens is...
Oh, gosh,
is that,
I've ran phone rooms most of my life.
Okay, so you know. So what happens is that people start making these changes almost immediately. Now,
I've had employees walk in, and they're on the job a half an hour, and they've completely rewritten the pitch.
Yeah, there you are. And so it's that type of mentality that you see in trading. I mean, isn't that the case, Duane? Seriously.
It is.
You've seen it. That exact kind of mentality is what people do with trading systems, even if they've spent. This is the funny thing.
What are you doing? Oh, well, I think this will work much better. Okay, well, you've been here a half an hour.
Right.
You haven't even finished your first cup of coffee. I've been at this 20 years.
Exactly.
And you already know how to do it better than I do.
It gets better than that, though, Duane. The people that tend to change the system the most, seems to me, are people who spent the most time reviewing the system and finally deciding and picking the one that best suits what they think their risk-reward ratio and what their gains want to be. They go to all that trouble and then immediately go right in and start changing it. Here's another example. Here's a business. Let's just come up with the name of a restaurant, Romeo's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And Romeo's has been there for 25 years. They have a very special clientele. They do a good business. And somebody comes around and they see the business. They say, you know, that Romeo's, they really built a nice business up. I'd be interested in buying that business. And, you know, they talk to the Romeo. They make negotiations. And before you know it, the guy buys Romeo's from them. And what happens? In the second month of business, the guy is changing a whole bunch of key features about Romeo's restaurant.
Changes the recipe, changes the decor.
Right, exactly. Changes the band that was playing there, or whatever it is. He starts changing, or put the band in where there was none. He starts making changes. Now, he didn't buy Romeo's, you would think. He bought Romeo's because he liked the business.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's going in and he's making all these changes, not recognizing that what he bought is no longer there. He's now changed what he bought, and before you know it, what's happening? He's either going out of business or having very, very slow business, because the business that Romeo had built up is losing interest in there because they're not getting what they were coming there for. You can see this in every area of life, if you think about it, where people take all the time and trouble to carefully do something, and as soon as they own it, they change it. Think about that, and think about that with regard to your own trading, and remember that that is a easy human trait to fall into. Boy, it's just so easy to fall into that. And I've done all these things myself 1,000 times over, and I hope that by mentioning this to people that they'll recognize that this is a road that you don't want to go down. Either make up your own system and stick with that system, use someone else's system and stick with that system, but don't sit there and get into a system, take all the time and trouble of reviewing it, and then day one, day two, day three, you're already making changes to it because you know better. So, you know, you can see it in all areas of life. It costs you a lot of money to do that, and it doesn't pay off. So I hope that's of help to people to think about these ideas. And as you think about these, you'll remember what we've talked about so many times here on this program, is that the biggest and most important part of doing this successfully is to simply have clean psychology. It's to simply figure out, work your plan your work, follow it along, be careful with making changes, manage your risk, don't overtrade. If you can follow those ideas and those rules, you'll be fine. The market isn't here to satisfy your particular whim. It's here to satisfy its particular whim. And if you can follow along with it, and you can, find the spots to get in where there are critical levels and do all what's necessary, you can make some money out of the market. But if you let your frustration drive your trading, I can assure you, you need to be in another line of work, because it doesn't pay. It does not pay in this business to let frustration drive your trading. And frustration is what causes people to change things, et cetera. Or just simple, you know, I don't want to say the word stupidity, but like the man who buys the restaurant and spends a high premium to buy this guy's already existing business, who then turns around and changes everything. He's already wasted a lot of that money, because he paid a premium to have something that was in business already. And I've seen it in Las Vegas here a number of times. This whole idea of a restaurant that people go to, that they like, then some new owner comes in and changes it. He, in his mind, really thinks he's improving it, but he's not taking into account that all the factors that made it successful originally. And so that is true for trading systems as well. So I hope that's of help.
Well said and well put.
Won't harp on it any longer. Here we are. We're still at 9:55. We've spiked slightly above that. Let's see if we can make some money from this today, from where we are here, if we don't have a trend day underway. And, Dwayne, I certainly look forward to talking both tomorrow and Friday to see if we can put a nice touch on the week here and see where we end up. It should be very interesting to see how they close this week. And I do encourage people to come to pagetrader.com and take a free trial. I also, even if you don't want a trial, take advantage of the free nightly report. There's no advertising in there. There's nothing there for you to buy. It's just a report that we send out every night. Shows you the trades we've taken, shows you our longer-term outlook for the market, and it may be interesting to you, and you can unsubscribe at any time. So we hope that. And by the way, we don't ever sell. We've never sold. We've been in business almost 10 years. We never sell customers' names, lists, email address, phone numbers, or anything like that. We've been offered that 100 times, believe me, and we've never sold one, and we never will. So you can sign up with confidence that we will not abuse your information. And for people who are interested in knowing all of our credit card information, because the internet's such a dangerous place, all of our credit card information is double military style encryption, which means that it's very, very difficult for a person to, even if they got into our server, hacking into our server, would not be able to get your information. They would get it in encrypted form, and it's very difficult to undo that. And on top of that, all of our employees at PageTrader only see the last four digits of your credit card information. None of us can see it, because all the rest of it is encrypted. So we have a secure site. If you do like to do business with us, you can rest assured that we take great expense to make sure that your information is protected, and that we don't sell or rent or lease or do anything with the information that you give us. So I hope that's helpful to people as well.
Well, in this day and age, I'm telling you that is good to hear. It is good to know. It's this, man, it's like,
yeah.
The email, even though I've got... long story. I'll tell it another day. But I got to run. But spam's aggravating.
Okay.
And it's because people sell the email addresses and they rent them and all the stuff you just said that you don't do. And,
right.
And you almost have to create these throwaway email addresses.
Right. What it does, if we did that, I'm sorry, Dwayne, to interrupt. But I just want to say, if we took your email address and sold it, what that means is that guy also is going to be selling it. Mm-hmm. And when he sells it, he means that guy's going to sell it. Anybody who agrees to sell an email address is a seller of email addresses. Mm-hmm. And what happens is your email address that we sold is now going to become worthless, because you're going to get more and more and more of what Dwayne is talking about, which is spam. And that, why do that to people? Why cause people to change? Now they have to contact everybody they know and change their email address. It just puts people through an enormous amount of time and trouble. There's no upside in it for us at all. And so we don't do it. We've never done it. And it's a good idea when you're doing business with people on the internet that you make it, you ask them that question. If you can get it in writing, get it in writing if it's possible, because that's a very big business, is selling people's names and information. And all it does is cause you to get enormous amounts of spam. Everybody who's been on the internet so far has had to change their email address a few times because of spam. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get so much spam in one day that you can't even find your own email in it.
Right.
You know. So,
very true.
Anyway, let's, Dwayne, I hope we can be on tomorrow and on Friday to finish up the week here and see where we are. And as always, I appreciate it.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.